And I am always excited to hear our speaker tonight. He always has something for the Lord. In fact, a couple of his messages on our website, I've gone back in there and listened to them again. And always getting something from the Lord, because I know that he is walking with God. And that's our youth pastor, Brother Tom Fenwick. He's going to come and preach for us tonight. And make sure you're paying attention and listening to what he has for you. Also, Brother Bob has mentioned, if you can help, all of these, this whole picnic and all has taken all day to put together, and we don't want to take it all night to bring it back down. And the only way that happens is with some help. So if you can help, Brother Bob and others get all this place cleaned up, because we don't want to leave it outside and put this place back together after the service. If you can see Brother Bob, and he'll take care of what needs to be done. Brother Tom, you come preach to us. Look forward to it.
Hello. How's everybody doing? All right. If anybody calls me, I'm going to slap you because I have this on vibrate. I need the time because I can't really see that. So, 2 Timothy chapter 2 is where we're headed. So if you head over there with me, I would appreciate it. 2 Timothy chapter 2. It is great to see the church filled tonight, and the spirit in the church has been great so far. Thank God for Jesus' blood, the song about that. Thank God that we got a mansion over the hilltop. That's pretty good stuff. 2 Timothy chapter 2 is where we're going to be tonight. And as my custom is, please stand for the reading of God's word. We're going to begin reading in verse 1 of chapter 2 of the book of 2 Timothy. Good. All right. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 1. The Bible says there, it says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." One more time, just so we can get our minds wrapped around this. Verse 1, the Bible says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this night. God, I'm honored and privileged just to have this opportunity to be up here. Lord, I pray that you would use me tonight. Lord, I pray you forgive me my sins. God, please fill me with your spirit. Control everything that I say and do, Lord. And God, I pray you would focus me big time on your scriptures right now, Lord. God, you know there's different things that have happened before church and things that are going to happen after church. But God, I need to be focused on what you want me to say tonight, Lord. And I pray that you would just use me. God, I pray you'd help the people here tonight, Lord. I know we have a lot of festivities planned in just a few minutes, Lord. And I know I'm what's standing between them and food. So, God, I just pray you would please help us to listen to your word tonight. God, we need this. God, man cannot live by bread alone, Lord. We live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, Lord. We need something from you tonight. And, God, I'm not worthy to give it, Lord, but I pray you would use me and speak through me, Lord, and give these people something that we would be better Christians for you. And as Jeffrey was saying in his prayer, Lord, for those that maybe aren't Christians, Lord, that they would get saved tonight, Lord. And, God, help us as Christians to see what you want us to see out of your word. Apply it to our lives and be better because of it, Lord. Thank you for all that you do. Please bless me tonight, Lord. I really need your help. I pray you would bless this time. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you again for standing up. Here in the book of 2 Timothy, what is going on is the great apostle Paul is coming to the end of his life. At this time, he reaches out to his son in the faith, Timothy. Timothy was somebody that Paul met on his second missionary journey that he took in the book of Acts. And Timothy was somebody that he invested in, a disciple of his, you would say. Of course, he was a disciple of Christ, but this was somebody he worked with personally. This is somebody he prayed with, he taught, he trained, he worked with, he spent time with. He took him out soul winning. He took him out visiting his bus route, so to speak. He sat with him in church. He would talk to him. They would mention different things and talk about what God had to say and how God wanted to use their lives. But as we get to 2 Timothy here, Paul is sitting in a prison. And Paul is most likely at the farthest about maybe a month from death, probably less than that. So Paul's sitting in this jail, in a Roman jail, and he is waiting. He's at the doorstep of death. He is waiting for death to knock on his door and say, "It's time." If you've ever seen Ernest, "It's time." Right? That's kind of how Paul is right now. He's thinking, how much longer do I have? A couple more hours? A couple more days? Maybe a week, maybe two, maybe a month. He doesn't know. But at this last hour of his life, he reaches out to his son in the faith, Timothy, who he has invested in, and he gives him instructions on how to make it. But notice, folks, listen, please listen to this tonight. I know we got a lot of things going, but please try to focus on this. He's saying, Timothy, I'm giving you instructions on how to make it. Listen, after I'm gone. Because think about it. This is the man that has brought him this far, thus far. This is the man that has taught him pretty much everything Timothy knows. This is the man that has preached and Timothy has learned and Timothy got under conviction and his life changed under Paul's ministry. He saw God use Paul. He saw what God could do through Paul and said, hey, maybe God could do that through me too. Paul's about to die. But he gives him instructions on how to make it even after Paul's gone. You know what Paul's saying in so many words in 2 Timothy? He's saying, Timothy, in a few weeks here, there's going to be a time when you can't come and visit me. There's going to be a time when you can't call me up. There's going to be a time that you can't send me a letter and wait for my response. There will be no response. There's going to come a time, Timothy, when you can text me. I ain't texting you back, brother. There's going to come a time, Timothy, where you email me. Ain't no email coming back from me because I'll be in heaven. There is no email. I don't know, but there might be email up there, okay? He's saying, Timothy, there's going to come a time when I'm going to be gone. And listen, your Christianity doesn't have to stop when I die. It can still go on. It can still grow. It can still flourish. And it can still make an impact in this world and please the Lord. Listen, folks, the Lord has given all of us in this room, a lot of investors, pastors talks about it many times, a lot of investors that humanly are the reason that we are what we are today. That's true. It may be your parents, it may be your Sunday school teacher, it's our pastor, of course, it's our assistant pastor, Brother Chad, it may be, you know, different classes you grew up through, maybe a bus route, maybe a van route, whatever the case may be, but you've had people investing in you. Yet, folks, our Christian life shouldn't be bound up in people. Shouldn't. You say, what does that mean? Well, it shouldn't begin and end with people. Because people can do you wrong. And people can let you down. And they do let you down. Another thing about people, like Paul's about to experience, they end, right? Limited time offer. It shouldn't be bound up in people or things. It must, listen to me, it must be centered, it must be stationed firmly in the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone. Because if not, you're not going to make it. You will not make it. It's got to be firmly settled in Jesus Christ alone. Hey, I'm not going to, you know, bring up old memories or tough times for anybody, but I'm thinking, preparing this message last night and thinking, to some extent, this is how it was with my dad. I learned everything from my dad. Sat under his ministry for ever since I've been born. I mean, I was in my stroller taking notes, you know. Said my first amen when I was 1 and a half. No, I don't know, but we'll have to check the record. Brother Joe probably knows that somehow. I don't know how, but he does. It's amazing. Folks, but listen, when my dad died, I guess getting close to 2 years now, my Christianity didn't have to end there. Didn't have to end there. Yours didn't have to end there. I respect greatly Brother Kenny, who's going to be here in a couple weeks. And the Lord, no joke, the Lord has used him hundreds, maybe thousands of times in my life to encourage me to give me something I needed right then. Maybe not in person, but his CDs and tapes, man, that was my lifeline at college. But it can't be bound up in him. A Christianity can't be bound up in him or our pastor or whoever. And it's not down in the people. It's just saying that people are going to let you down. People can only take you so far. Folks, and if we don't get settled in the Lord Jesus Christ, every single one, hey, you may have come for food, and I understand that. Listen, most Sunday nights we don't have this many people. So, you know, in my deductive reasoning mind, I'm thinking, usually we don't have this many people. No food. We have a ton of people here tonight. Food. Maybe that's why. For some of you, at least. For other you spiritual people, you came for a little bit preaching, then a lot of food. Right? That's the rest of y'all, okay? You probably got a plate back there working on it right now.
head start. Hey, you guys got me up here. I'm going to get down in your business. All right, no, I'm just kidding. Our Christianity can't be bound up in people. Our Christianity can't be bound up in things. See, some people, when church is going on, man, they're into it. Sunday morning, man, they're a great Christian. Sunday night, they're a great Christian. Wednesday night, they're a great Christian. Monday through Saturday, they stink as a Christian. Because it's bound up in stuff, services, emotion. That's not always going to be there. You got to settle your life down. And listen, even those people that have worked in your life and that have done so much for you, there's going to come a point in time where that will not be the case anymore. Folks, if we don't learn what Timothy learned from Paul here, we're not going to make it as a Christian. And tonight I want to preach to you this thought. Instructions on how to make it. See, I want to make it, okay? I want to make it. Now, when I say I'm preaching on instructions on how to make it, that is assuming, however, that you do want to make it. See, I preach to a lot of teenagers a lot of times, and they sit and they listen. They might look like they're listening, you know, the fake listening face. Like, I could care less, but, oh, really? That kind of face. But see, a lot of times I'm telling the guys, listen, guys, it's going to be tough. It's going to be hard out there to be a young man and stay pure. Uh-huh. It's going to be tough for a young man to stand up in a public school. It's going to be tough for that. Tough for a young lady to live right, dress right. Sorry. Swallowed a bug or something. Right? It's going to be tough. If you haven't checked reality lately, just go outside and go to the mall sometime and see how bad it is. See how wicked it is. See how ungodly it is. Hey, it's tough. It's real hard. But you can make it. But you better want to. Folks, if you don't want to make it, it doesn't matter what I say. Doesn't matter what you write down. Doesn't matter what you say amen to. Doesn't matter what happens tonight. If you don't want to make it, you will not make it. And I'm sick and tired of people getting good preaching, getting good teaching, getting good training that don't want to make it. Sick of it. If you don't want it, see ya. We're glad you're here. But listen, if you don't want it, you won't get it. A lot of people, oh, I just wish I was closer to God. The Bible says, draw nigh to me and I'll draw nigh to you. You know what that's saying? That's saying your move, not God's move. God's good all the time and over time. God's got it going on. God is great. It's not that God's over here hiding. Are you ready for me yet? You are? That's not how God's doing. It's your move. Listen, Isaiah 59 says your sins and iniquities have separated between you and your God. You know why you're not close to God? Because you're stinking sin. Get the sin out, you might get closer to God. But sorry, I'm getting a little carried away with myself. But folks, listen to me. You're not going to make it if you don't want to make it. So when I tell you I'm going to preach on instructions on how to make it tonight, make that decision that you want to make it now so you get something out of it. Because I've done it enough myself, and I've seen other people do it enough that you're just going to waste all this if you don't want to make it. So I hope you want to make it tonight. And if you do, notice number one with me at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. Number one, if you want to make it, notice this. Number one, you need to depend on Christ. You need to depend on Christ. Oh, yeah, I know this, Tom. I didn't ask if you knew it. I asked if you're living it. Depend on Christ. Look at verse 1. The Bible says, Paul's speaking to Timothy. That's what the thou is in there for. He's saying you. That's what thou means. You, singular. Thou, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Folks, if you don't know what grace is, I'll give it a little better definition in a minute, but just listen to this. It's his strength. It's his strength. Listen, God's grace to us is his unmerited favor. He loves us even though he doesn't have to. He really shouldn't, because we're some sorry people. It's his undeserved help. It's all of God. See, grace is nothing of us. God didn't look down and say, oh, wow, I think I'm going to help that person out. There's nothing of us. He should have nothing to do with us because we're wicked, ungodly sinners. And if you haven't read the Bible lately, God is holy, holy, holy. That's what the Bible says. We are not, not, not. If you need to hear it three times. It's all of God. See, Grace is something he gives me that I don't deserve. But this is the definition I like. Grace is God's power to help me live and do right. That's grace. So get the thought here when Paul's saying to Timothy, thou therefore, my son, be strong that is in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. You know what he's saying? Depend on Christ, boy. Depend on Christ. Listen, it's going to get tough on you. People aren't always going to agree with your preaching. They're not always going to like your bus route. They're not always going to like you knocking on their door. They're not always going to like you standing up and having a smile on your face and trying to do right and live right. They're not always going to like that. You better be strong in the grace that is in Christ. That's what he's saying. You listen, he's saying, Timothy, if you're not strong in the grace that he gives you, you're not going to make it in your own strength, brother. And neither will we, folks. You may, listen, you may have all the talent in the world. You may have all the ability in the world. You may be smart. People may naturally like you, whatever the case may be. But if you're not strong, if you're not abiding, if you're not using the grace that God's given to you, you're going to be a failure as a Christian. Failure. Don't care what family you come from. Don't care what people think of you. It's not about that. It's about, are you right with God, and are you using the grace that he gives to you? His power to do right. Hey, folks, just so we can get this out of the way right now. Don't tell us that you can't change the way you talk, or change the way you live, or change what you're drinking, or change what you're smoking. No. Don't tell me you can't do that. When he says, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, listen, he's saying, depend on his strength. Depend on his strength. And you know what? God has all power. Omnipotent. That says he has all power. Listen, folks, so therefore, if God has all power and he gives his grace to me, I got power to do whatever he wants me to do. Yeah. We have teenage boys tell us sometimes, oh, I try, but I can't help cussing. Oh, yes, you can. Some folks might be in here tonight, I just can't stop smoking. Yes, you can. I can't stop drinking. Oh, yes, you can. I can't stop beating up on my wife. Oh, absolutely, you can. I can't stop dressing the way I do. Oh, yeah, you can. Because you have the grace that is in Christ Jesus. You have his strength available to you. Pastor uses this verse a lot of times in John 1:12. It says, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. A lot of times we talk to people and they say, man, you know, I'd like to get saved. I'd like to go to heaven when I die, but I don't think I could change my life, man. I don't think, you know, there's too much stuff I want to do still. You know, I got to give up all this stuff and it's too hard. No. No, you got all, if you get saved, now if you're trying to do it in your unsaved power, you can't do it. But if you get saved, then God will give you the power to get rid of that stuff. Give you the power to get rid of that pornography, that bad TV, or that bad music. He give you the power to get rid of that stuff. So don't tell me, well, this is just how it is. This is how my people are. No. That doesn't work. Doesn't work. Sorry, it's hot as anything up here. So, guys, you can take your jackets off, shirts off. No, I'm just kidding. I might in a minute. No, I'm just kidding. No. At least my mom laughed. He's saying depend on Christ. Depend on his strength. Paul said in 1 Timothy, he said, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who hath enabled me. Man, that helped me out so much when I started working on the buses and all. Because honestly, from how I grew up and what I was used to, it was a totally different world for me. I'm not just saying that. It was hard. Really, I mean, folks, I grew up in Marlboro, Maryland, all right? And I go over to Langley Park and you got these high rises and these people looking out the building, just looking at you like. I was talking to the teenagers Friday night and in case you didn't notice tonight, I'm white. Okay? So, you know, don't have time to go on the whole thing, but, you know, for instance, say a dude like David, Mexican guy, you know, time I get you. It's about time I get you. Isn't that right? Can I get a witness, bro? All right now. Say a guy, a Mexican guy like David or something, you know, he's in his house. David's El Salvadorian. We just kid with him. I don't know why, but we kid with him. Okay? David just wakes up, 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock Sunday morning. He's over there. All Spanish guys do this. I really don't know why, but they wake up and like, yo, man, I hope I got some frijoles up in the freezer, you know? Whatever. Okay? And he comes to his window, opens the blinds, whatever, looks out, sees a white guy running through his neighborhood like this. It's kind of weird. It wasn't very easy for me not to run, but just to be in that situation there. Folks, but it was hard for me. It was hard for me to get up and preach to kids that I had no clue what they went through the past week. I was supposed to get up and teach them something, how to live right in that situation. I don't know anything about it. It's tough. But that verse, 1 Timothy 1:12, was a really big blessing to me. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who hath enabled me. You know what enable means? It means to give you the power. He gives you the power. God gives you the power to do what he wants you to do. See, folks, a lot of times we think it's all rules, rules, rules. You know, we're a bunch of Catholics. That's not how we are. Listen to me. It's not about rules and regulations. It's about a relationship with Christ. You say, what does that mean? You're just throwing all these R's. No, no, no. I'll tell you what it means. I'll tell you what it means. It's not just do this and do this and do this and do this and do this. Hope you have a good week. It's not like that. You know what it is? It's, yeah, there are things in the Bible we should do. Commandments, instructions, charges we should do, exhortations. Do this, do this, do this, do this, do this. And by the way, I'll give you all the power to do that, 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 that. That's a relationship. That's pretty good. See, God doesn't say go to the store and pick up all the groceries and hope you have enough money to do it. He gives you all the money. He gives you the transportation there and back. Pushes your cart around. You can be like a little kid and ride around. Right? You can be in the back. He does everything for us. We just go along for the ride, and it's pretty cool when you go along for the ride. Depend on his strength in every situation. Folks, do you depend on God's strength in every situation? You know, I don't have time to park here very long, but folks, a lot of times I think we'd be a lot better Christians if we, in tough situations when we're tempted or whatever the case may be, when things happen right in the moment. Now, you don't have to, you know, excuse me, folks, I'm tempted. You don't have to do all that, okay? But you know, really, you know what you should do? If you're tempted, just quietly, you don't have to, you know, tell everybody, I'm praying, but just, Lord, I need your help right here, God. God, I am thinking bad thoughts, and God, Lord, I really need you right now. Folks, I believe that's depending on his grace in every situation. See, a lot of times we do our little, in the morning, never give back to God till the next morning, and then we wonder why we can't live for God. Maybe it's because we're not using the grace that he gives to us, the power to do right, to live right in the moment. In every situation. And by the way, I was kind of getting close to this, saying this earlier, but his grace is sufficient. You know what that means? It's enough. It's more than enough. It's more than enough. That's what I've already mentioned it, but he gives you the power to do everything he wants you to do. Listen, he's got the power that you need to make it through, whatever you're going through. And I know when I say that, you're just like, yeah, whatever. You don't even know what I'm dealing with. Come on, how can you say that? The Bible says his grace is sufficient. 2 Corinthians 12:9, I think it is. His grace is sufficient. That's saying it's more than enough. Do you believe that tonight? I mean, folks, the pastor gets on this a lot. A lot of times we just, you know, oh, yes, God parted the Red Sea. God brought, you know, a flood upon the earth. God could take Abraham and Noah and David and Jonah and whatever. And then we go home and act like God doesn't even exist, folks. And you know that's true. Do you believe his grace is sufficient? The Bible says, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. The Bible says there is no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. Everything you face is the devil's old news. He hadn't brought anything new out 6,000 years. Used it all up on Adam and Eve, and it still works on us dumb people. Because we don't depend on God's grace. There had no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able. You ever felt like you're tempted more than you're able? You may get close, but God says that doesn't happen. Oh, I just can't control myself. I mean, when I see that kind of stuff on TV, I just can't help but. Well, first of all, turn the TV off, and I think you can help but not do that. He'll make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. With man, this is impossible. With God, all things are possible. Absolutely, it is. Hey, folks, you need to depend on Christ, on his strength in every situation. It's sufficient. But get this, not only to survive as a Christian, but to succeed as a Christian.
There's a difference. Sometimes it's like, but there's certain people in the church, you don't want to even ask them how they're doing. Because you know what they're going to say. They come into church and you can just tell it. It's written all over their face, body, everything. Hey, guys. You got to get a big woof when you sit down, you know. Woof. Woof. How you guys doing today? Well, I'll tell you, I haven't been doing good today. And folks, okay, I understand that every once in a while. I was pretty tired this afternoon. People are like, Tom, can't. I'm like, I'm out. Folks, I can understand that every once in a while. But I've known Christians that it really is like that all the time.
It's just always struggling. Devil's just always beating me down. I can't make it.
Are you reading the same Bible that I am? Have you read the part that says, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world? You know what they're saying? Greater is God that lives inside of me than the devil. Is that true? Is that demonstrated as true in your life? Should be. Not only just survive. Oh, praise God. I made it from Sunday to Wednesday night. Hallelujah, Jesus. Folks, it shouldn't be like that all the time. I mean, that's 3 days, right? Not that hard. Yeah, come on now. Shouldn't be like that. Not only just to survive, but to succeed. Listen, folks, when we sing victory in Jesus, my Savior forever, listen, that's not just a song we just want to sing in church. We want to live that stuff. Man, on your job, don't you want victory in Jesus? In your school, don't you want victory in Jesus? I do. Hey, in your neighborhood, don't you want victory in Jesus? In your life, don't you want victory in Jesus? I do. And again, that's not just something we made up because it sounds good. Oh, victory in Jesus. Well, good beat. I like that. Hopefully I was right. Kenny's probably like, no, you're off by quarter tone or something. I'm sorry, man. I'm trying, all right? He's probably thinking that right now. Sorry, I got to get back to preaching. Victory in Jesus, really. Hey, victory over temptation. Man, listen. Folks, you can sing that song Monday through Saturday. But it's always good to sing a song when you're actually experiencing it at the same time. I see a temptation. Lord, please help me with this, God. This is tough. Please, please, please. Oh, the temptation is gone. Victory in, man, look at that. That's victory in Jesus right now. Wow. That's pretty cool. You can have victory over discouragement. You don't have to be one of them Christians. You don't have to be that. You can't, listen, folks, how is the world supposed to want to be like us if we're like that? I don't want to be like that. I'm sorry. Praise the Lord. Oh, boy. Man, that stinking bus route. I hate every one of them kids, man. Are you on a bus? I hate you too. No, I was kidding. I love you, I think. Okay. I get myself in trouble sometimes. Folks, it shouldn't always be like that. You hate them every once in a while. Isn't that right, bus captain? And all the bus captains said, amen. Folks, it shouldn't always be like that, though. It shouldn't always be like that. I got to hurry up. Pastor, I discovered a new enemy of the Christian in the Bible. Discovered it Friday night when I was preaching. You know, it was world, the flesh, the devil. I thought there was three. There's four. Four. Want to know what it is? Got a new revelation, brother. The world, flesh, the devil, and the clock. Clock. I hate the clock. That's off the devil, absolutely, man. Straight out of hell, I'm telling you. Clock. Stink. You can have victory over temptation, folks. You can have victory over discouragement. You can have victory over the devil. You can have victory over critics and deadbeat Christians. Again, I don't want to be like those people. And you know what? Listen, I've had to kind of spy and direct Jeffrey. I know in his life, direct him away from certain people because I've told him, Jeff, that guy's not a terrible guy, but he's going to bring you down. He's bringing you down, bro. No, he's bringing you down. You say, how so? Well, he's always criticizing, always complaining, always doing just enough to get by. I don't want him to be like that. And I'm not really, you know, discipling Jeffrey now. Jeffrey's to a level he's pretty much doing it himself. But, man, I've told him before, just stay away from that guy. You can be nice to him, but just stay away from him. Because I don't want you when we should be out soul winning just, oh, man, I'm tired. He didn't used to do that. It's because this guy, he's been hanging around. He did it, and, well, I'll do it too. Listen, you can have victory over apathy and wasting your life. Number two, you instructions on how to make it, you need to depend on Christ. Number two, quickly, you need to discern the content. What does that mean? Discern the content. Write it down, then I'll tell you what it means. Verse 1, it says, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The first part of verse number 2, it says this, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be. Timothy. The things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses. I like this. You know what I'm thinking here? What's happening at the beginning of verse 2? He's saying, Timothy, the stuff, the things that you've heard of me among many witnesses. Now think of it. Timothy started going with Paul on his missionary journeys, right? It's pretty cool. So this is talking about the different churches and places they went. Timothy's sitting on the front row. I'm sure he was. He's called a priest. No. Brother Kenny said all priests. Must be. Just kidding. But Timothy's sitting in the church listening to Paul at all these different meetings. And Paul's saying, all the stuff that you heard from me among many witnesses and all these different churches and all these different places, he's saying, you pass it on to somebody else. But before I get to passing it on, folks, you can't pass on what you don't have yourself. So he's saying, Timothy, you better discern the content. You know what that means? You better understand this stuff yourself. Folks, listen. We need more people to disciple others in the church, but you better know what you're talking about. We need more people in service for the church, service for God in the church and working on routes and classes and all of that, but you better know what you're talking about. You better discern the content. Just, I'm going to tell you real quickly how to learn it, and then I'm going to tell you what to learn in a second. You want to know how to discern the content? I mean, we talk about a lot of stuff. I understand. It's not easy. We talk about a lot of different things. You know, sometimes we look down our nose at people and like, really, man, you didn't know that Noah's beard was, you know, 17.5 inches long? Please. Unbelievable. Just get out of the church. Folks, people don't know those things. I don't know that. You need to look it up? No. But let me tell you how to discern the content. Listen, if you've been in church a while or if you're brand new in the church, you need to know this stuff for yourself. I'll tell you why in a second. But you know how you can get on your way to learning this stuff? Number one, hear it. Wow, Tom. You really spent time thinking about that one, did you? Folks, you're never going to learn it unless you put yourself in a position to hear it. A.K.A. come to church. Folks, again, I said, we usually don't have a crowd like this on Sunday night. That's not a good thing. It should be like this every week. Because, yeah, we don't have... What are we having tonight? What about a hot dog? Roast beef. Okay, stop. Everybody's getting hungry. Everybody's like, Tom, can you really shut up? No. I got time still. A little bit. It's fleeting very quickly. Fish and roast beef and other stuff. I cut him off. Okay. Folks, we don't have that all the time. You're like, yeah, I know. That's why I'm not here all the time. I know. But, folks, we don't have that all the time. But I want to tell you what we do have every Sunday night. The preaching of the Word of God. Listen, we got God's Word every week. It's prepared right. It's cooked right. It's served right. And it'll do something in your life. And we have that not just once every month, once every quarter, once every year. We got that all the time, brother. That's right. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, even on Friday sometimes. Stop that. We do all that kind of stuff all the time. And it's good stuff. Do you a lot better than that roast beef or fish? You know what I'm talking about in a couple hours. Sorry. Getting off that subject. You need to put yourself in a position to hear it. Listen, folks, but not only are you going to learn it by just hearing it, you got to put forth some hard work. Come on, folks. A lot of times, I know pretty much everybody in this church would say, oh, I want to grow. I want to know more. I wish I could be like Pastor. I wish I could be like Brother Chad and just this Bible verse and that Bible verse. And like, you know, my dad used to be a whole chapter, whole book, whole Bible. And you're like, are you done yet?
Oh, man, I wish I could be like that. Let me tell you something, folks. A lot of times we put people like that in a different category. And sometimes, listen, you bus kids or van kids, you put us in a different category. You think we grew, we were born with a halo over our heads. Not all of the other church kids besides me were. Okay. Folks, listen to me, though. It's not like that. It is not like that. Listen to me. And I'm not anything special, but you know the reason I'm here today? Because God's grace, and I used it. I used it in my life. Listen, if I didn't use it, I would be have my life ruined too. That's right. Don't put us in a different category. And let's not put Pastor or Brother Chad or different people in different categories. Or my dad.
Oh, well, they were just like that. I mean, they had a mind for those things, you know?
Just naturally inclined to memorize whole books of the Bible. No, nobody's naturally inclined to do that. You know how they did it? Hard work. Hard work. Hard work. Listening to preaching. Not just Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, maybe in the car. Maybe at home. Yeah, that's hard. Listen, that's hard work. That's trying to learn stuff. Hey, memorizing scripture. That's hard work. Reading the Bible every day. That's hard work. Studying the Bible. Okay, I don't want to just read it. I want to find out what is this saying here. That's hard work, folks. I'm not going to ask him, but I know for a fact that Pastor is studying the Word of God and different commentaries and what this says about this and that for hours and hours and hours a week. He doesn't just show up here and, okay, where do we want to go to here today? Oh, Hebrews 12. That looks good. Let me see if I got anything to say. Oh, yeah, great. Got a note from Schofield. Wonderful. No, folks, it's not like that. Listen, you want to learn the Bible? You want to be a good Christian? Work hard. Work hard. All time. I just wish I was like you and Caprice or whatever. Make sure you call, first of all. And then after that, work hard. Work hard. Work hard. Man, I wish I could just get up screaming and yelling about all this stuff. Man, that's awesome. It takes hard work.
It does.
It takes hard work. Listen, verse 15. I'll prove it to you. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's in the same chapter, by the way. And pastors hit on this a lot. Study to show thyself approved. If you see ye in the Bible, that's talking about more than one person. Talking about more than one person. When you see thee or thy or thyself, talking about one person, specific, singular. Jeffrey, you study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And I could do that with every single person in this room, and I would be telling you exactly what the Bible says. Study to show yourself approved unto God. Listen, it's not good enough. Well, if you have any questions, just go to our pastor. He knows it all. No, you, yourself, you need to know it. Study to show yourself approved unto God. And I looked up the word, I hope I have it, yeah. I looked up the word study. You know what it means? Applying the mind in an effort to learn. Applying the mind. Getting down and dirty with it. Man, I got my mind working. I'm not distracted here. I'm focused on this thing. And it's in an effort to learn. An effort to learn. That sounds like work to me. And you know, in the rest of the verse, it says, study, apply your mind in an effort to learn, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman. What does a workman do? I think he works. You know what it's saying? Get in your Bible and start working at it. Start working at it. I go to Gold's. Why do I talk so long? I go to Gold's Gym. You know the guys that walk around like this? Because they've been working hard. You know guys in there like me? Because I haven't been working hard. You can tell a difference. Actually, I work my tail off and nothing happens, you know. We work on that one machine, it's like, whoa, man, this is awesome. And then you go and it's like, your muscles like this when you're in the gym, and as soon as you go away, it's like, and you're like, oh, man, what happened? If I could just take my machine with me everywhere, I might be in pretty good shape. Then we'd have some problems. It takes hard work. It takes hard work. Folks, after you hear it, and put forth some hard work, you need to get a handle on it. Understand it. That's what that means. Then you need to heed it. You need to listen to it and live it out in your life. Then you need to have it. You need to get it in your life to where you can be able to explain to somebody else why you believe what you believe. And before I go on with that, because I know half of you on your mind just say, oh, yeah, I got that. No, you don't. It makes me sick and tired that pastor gets up and let's turn to Psalms, you know, whatever. And people are just, oh, yeah, I got that. No, you don't. I know this is a fact because I've done it myself. If we stopped you 5 minutes after pastor starts talking and say, okay, what is he talking about? Most of y'all be like, God? That's not good enough. That's not good enough. Listen, I'm not talking about you think you know it, but you never live it, and you can't explain it to somebody. If you don't live it, you don't know it. You don't. Because unless you're living it out, you don't know it. Unless you can explain it to somebody else, clearly, I'm not talking about you mess it all up and it's something like that. Just rearrange it, it'll be fine. No, no, no. I'm talking about you be able to explain what you believe and why you believe it to people. You should be able to do that. And when he's talking about the things that thou hast heard of me, he's talking about the doctrines, the teachings, the truths that Paul has taught. That Paul has taught. All right, folks. So instructions on how to make it. Number one, you better depend on Christ. You better depend on Christ. Number two, you better be able to discern the content. Listen, if you're off a bus, start working hard in your Bible. Just because you're off a bus doesn't mean you can't learn the Bible. Hey, I'm not banging on you, but a lot of you got these rap songs memorized. Beginning to end, you could go in reverse if you wanted to. Rewind it. You could still do it. But yet, you know, we start in the Bible and you're just like, say what, brother? Can you go again? I missed that part. Because you don't care. Work hard at it. Hey, listen to me. I didn't grow up where you grew up. But I know a God that can get you through whatever you're going through. And he can use you greatly in your life. He's got a great plan for all of us. And he loves you. Okay. Trying to get a little shaky up here. He does love you, though, and he has a great plan for your life. But it's going to take some work. You didn't pull into Woodlawn Baptist Church and we have a Joel Osteen conference. Oh, don't live for God. Don't read your Bible. Don't come to church. You don't have to do anything. Just love Jesus and he'll love you back and bless you. No, he won't. No, he won't. He just said today, this book of the law should not depart out of thy mouth. That's talking about work. That's talking about you talk about it all the time. You learn it. You get it. Blessed is the man that walketh not, sitteth not, standeth not, reclines not, watches not, you know, all that other stuff. That takes some work. Then he's going to be like a tree planted by the river of the water. Then he's going to be the blessed man. You got to do some stuff before you want to be blessed. Anyway, you need to depend on Christ if you want to know how to make it. You need to discern the content. And then number three, after you get it yourself, you need to deliver it to those who are committed. Number three, deliver it to those who are committed. Folks, let's finish off verse number two. The Bible says, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. He's saying, son, Timothy, you want to make it. I'm leaving pretty soon. I'm going to die here pretty soon. You want to be able to make it. See, once you stop depending on me and I'm out of here, you better start depending on Christ. Actually, you should have been depending on Christ all along. He said, but it's even more crucial now that you depend on Christ. Because if you don't, you will not make it. Depend on Christ and discern the content. How are you going to get up and preach to people, teach to people, counsel people, work with people? If you don't know it yourself, it doesn't happen. I've tried. Deliver it to those who are committed. Once you get it, once you discern the content, then you tell other people. You deliver it to those who are committed. You commit those things to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Hey, folks, you want to know the content to preach to them? These are just some things I wrote down. I'm going to run through these because I'm using up my time very fastly. Folks, here's some doctrines you need to know. This is stuff every Woodlawner should know. You should know that Jesus is God. That Jesus is God. You should know that. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, talking about Jesus Christ. Isaiah 7:14. It says that he's Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God. Talking about Jesus Christ, the Mighty God. Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Isaiah 9:6. These are all talking about the deity of Christ, that Jesus is God. Isaiah 9:6, it says that he, in so many words, it says he, for unto us a child is born, a son is given. I'm way off. Okay, sorry here. It says that he'll be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. You ought to know that Jesus is God. You ought to know that the gospel can save anybody. Hey, this is stuff that, I know this is stuff that Paul taught Timothy. The gospel will save anybody. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God and salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Romans 1:16. Romans 10:13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. By the way, you might not know all these doctrines, but you need to know you're saved tonight. And if you call on the name of the Lord, you ask Jesus to save you, you repent of your sins and put your faith in Christ and Christ alone, you can be saved tonight. That's a whole lot better than some roast beef or some fish. I was about to say chicken. I don't know where that came from. I like chicken, that's why.
Oh, good. I'll be here. I'll be here anyway.
Folks, you need to know that the Bible is perfect and that it's true. Here in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. Write those down. All scriptures given by inspiration of God, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Good stuff. Don't have time to talk about it. You need to know that God expects holiness from all of his children. 1 Peter 1:15. Be ye holy as I am holy. That's what God says, and God is holy. So we better try to live up to that. You need to know that the blood is what atones for our sins. We sing about it. You need to know that yourself. And you need to be able to back these things up. Not by the blood. I like this. Hebrews 9:12. Not by the blood of bulls and goats, but by his own blood. He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us.
That's good stuff. Wish I could preach on it. Okay.
Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. It says we're not redeemed by corruptible things like silver and gold. That stuff can't buy our salvation. You know what can? The precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. 1 Peter 1:17-18. You need to know that hell is real. Folks, if people don't get saved, if you're in here tonight and you don't get saved, you're on your way to a place called hell. Luke 16:23. And in hell, the rich man lift up his eyes being in torment. In hell, there is a place.
Oh, well, I heard this preacher on TV. He said it doesn't even exist.
Good for him. It does exist. You know why? Because God said it. He's saying, Timothy, you need to preach these things. You need to preach about the rapture of the church, that the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. He's coming back someday, folks. The dead in Christ shall rise first. We who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Next time you're down, maybe think about that. It might encourage you. He's saying, Timothy, preach this stuff. You need to preach about the tribulation period and the second coming of Christ. That it's a time when God will unleash his wrath on the wickedness of man. That he's also going to be saving his people Israel during this time. That he's going to return to this earth and rule and reign for 1,000 years from Jerusalem. He's saying, Timothy, you better preach this stuff. And you better preach to these people that they need to love God, love him. And folks, if you truly love God, you're going to obey him and you're going to serve him. Because the Bible says, if you love me, Jesus speaking, keep my commandments. He's saying, Timothy, this stuff, and I liked it, man. It's good stuff right here. Verse 2, he said, the things that thou hast heard of me. He's talking about the doctrines, the teachings, the truths that he's heard from Paul preaching. All right, Paul's up preaching. Timothy's listening, writing down notes. Let's follow along. The things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses. What's the next part? The next two words? Among many? The same. The same. Isn't that cool, Pastor? That we don't have to come invent. What are we going to talk about? The same stuff my dad talked about all them years. The same stuff that Paul talked about back then. Same stuff that Timothy's got his preach on about. It's the same stuff. Listen, when you start seeing a church where, hey, we want to change everything. We don't use the Bible. We don't dress up. We don't sing. We don't do any of this stuff. You better be like, uh-uh. You know why? Because he said, the things that you've heard of me, Timothy, the same stuff. The same. You don't have to change it. You don't have to make it better. You don't have to upgrade it. You don't have to get version 2.0. You don't have to re-download something. No, no, no. The same stuff that you heard me preach, you preach to them people. And it'll change them just like it changed you, brother. The same stuff. The same stuff. The content that you need to preach, the same stuff. Not opinions, not styles, not trends, not wishy-washy. You need to preach sound doctrine. Doesn't change. Doesn't change. The content to preach to them, you need to give it to those who are constantly participating. He says, listen, I'm finishing up, folks. I'll be done here in just a minute. He's saying, the same, commit thou to faithful men. Faithful men. He's saying, Timothy, don't just give this stuff. Now, we preach to everybody. But don't entrust this stuff. Don't give responsibility to people that are not faithful. And notice, he didn't say those that have a lot of potential. No, he says, commit thou to faithful men. You know what that tells me? Right now, they're faithful. Folks, some of y'all, you got great potential, but you're doing nothing for God now. Potential is nothing. Potential is a possibility. It might happen. It might not happen. What are you doing for God now? Are you faithful now? Are you faithful to church now? Are you faithful to serving God now? Are you faithful as a soul winner now? Are you faithful to reading your Bible, praying now? I'm not talking about the future. Oh, that kid got so much potential. I know that if he just gets serious with God, maybe someday God could... We're talking about now, folks. Are you faithful now? You need to give it to those that are constantly participating. Faithful now, not potential, not they're performing right now. They need to be capable, able to teach. Confident. You need to be confident. Listen, folks, when pastor's giving us stuff, you ought to be confident that we're going to do something with it, not just let it fall to the ground.
Willie, when you trained Jeff, you didn't train him for no reason. We're talking about this Friday night, teenagers. You know what I'm talking about? I didn't spend all that time with you for nothing, David. I didn't spend all that time for you with you, Jeffrey, for nothing, Luis. I spent all that time with you for nothing. Willie, we didn't spend all that time for nothing, right? We did it for something. So you live right. So you would take this stuff and live it out in your life. That's right. And you better be faithful now. I don't want to hear this stuff when I turn 18, when I turn 21. What are you doing now? Jesus might come back before you're 18, 21. You might not live till you're 18 or 21. Get busy now. And you need to be committed. They need to be committed to doing this. Committed to doing this. When the times get tough, hey, they're doing these same things on how to make it. And they need to continue to pass it on. Folks, listen. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Listen to me. I know pastors, for a pastor, I'm not trying to be funny here, for a pastor, he's relatively young. Pastor's like, thank you. Then I was trying to be funny. The last part. I know he's relatively young for a pastor, but folks, there's going to come a day, hopefully it'll be a long time from now, but there's going to come a day when he won't be around anymore, right? Hey, he's committing stuff to us now. He's committing it to your care. Hey, when he teaches us these things, we shouldn't just, yeah, whatever, heard that before, but I don't really understand it. I can't explain it to anybody. I never do it, but I know it. No, you don't. No, take it and say, thank you, pastor. I need to use this. I need to do this in my life. Because if we don't, folks, if you don't catch it and carry it to someone else, you know what? The truth. Now, somebody will get raised up and do right, but the truth will kind of fade away for a while. We used to have a lot of churches doing right back in the day. Now we got barely a few doing right. And folks, we're a dying breed. We're dying. I feel like I'm dying. It's about 800 degrees up here. The doctrine of hell, I think, is coming true. Right? Hey, you listen, folks, you need to pass it on. Are you passing it on to your neighbors? Are you passing on to your friends, your family? We've got to. Listen, God gives each of us great influences and great investors in order for us to be what he wants us to be in our lives. But listen to me. We better depend on Christ, or we're not going to make it. We better discern the content, or we're not going to make it. We better deliver to those that are committed, or we're not going to make it. As individuals, as a church, anything you want to say. If we want to make it, we need to do those things. Because he's given Timothy here, but he's given us instructions on how to make it. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you've heard of me among many witnesses, the same stuff, commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. That's our job, folks. That's our job. Hey, instructions on how to make it. You want to make it? I want to make it in my life. I hope you do. Let's bow for prayer. Lord, thank you for this night. Thank you for your word. God, thank you for the truths in it, Lord, and how it can change our lives. I pray you would bless the invitation very quickly, Lord, and pray you would help us as we have our picnic here in a few minutes, Lord. I just pray you would bless this time of invitation in Jesus' name. If we all stand, heads bowed and eyes closed, we'll be looking around. As they begin to play, the Lord spoke to your heart. If you need to do business with the Lord, it's what the invitation is for. It's what the altar is for. If we have a baptism, if you come up now. Is there nobody looking around, please? Is there anybody that says, Brother Tom, if I were to die tonight, I don't know that I would go to heaven. And I sure don't want to go to hell. Would you just raise your hand? We just want to pray for you. We're not going to embarrass you. Is anybody like that? I don't know for sure I'm going to heaven one day, but I would like to. Maybe you need to be up here on this altar. Maybe God touched your heart, but you're not listening to him. Get right tonight, folks. Get right tonight. You'll be grateful that you did. All right. Thank you.
let's all look up here. We're gonna we're preparing for some baptisms. We have a little bit of conflicts in the counts, but I think we're over 300 tonight, and so we want to make sure we dismiss in a good fashion. So we got a plan for you. But before we do that, Brother Bob's gonna sing a song. We'll do a not a solo, but you're gonna sing with Brother Bob, and then we'll do some baptisms.
Turn to page 31.
Just one verse.
Thank you.